If, like me, your focus when you're trying to lose weight is on getting rid of that belly that's shaped more like a bottle of Pinot Noir than a six-pack, you might wonder, apart from controlling what you eat, what's the best exercise? That's what Rania Makkari and her colleagues set out to discover. Rania is at the Harvard School of Public Health and the Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences in Boston.
You know, there are two types of exercises, the aerobic exercise and there is the anaerobic exercise. And when you engage in aerobic activities such as jogging, running, swimming and whatnot, your major source of energy is coming from fat, because fat can only be burned aerobically with the presence of oxygen. It's not 100% fat, but mostly fat, as well as glycogen, some.
And just to explain, glycogen is a storage carbohydrate, largely in your liver, which can pull down and get quick energy when you need it.
Exactly. And the other type of workout is the anaerobic workout, such as the resistance training, which is meaning without the presence of oxygen. You're exerting a certain movement on the muscle above what the muscle can normally do. The source of energy for that type of exercise is mostly glycogen and not fat, because fat doesn't have a choice to be burned but with the presence of oxygen. Glycogen, on the other hand, could be burned with or without the presence of oxygen. So that's why when you do anaerobic activity, your source of energy is really glycogen. So that being said, this begs the question, how come we got those results? Why is weight training inversely associated with the decrease in waist circumference?
You've given away the punchline, but just tell me about the research that you did and the question that you asked for the research.
We wanted to compare different types of physical activities in relation to waist circumference and body weight. But we wanted to focus on waist circumference because, do you want to know why? I don't know if you want to know why.
Of course I want to know why. Because it's the most significant risk factor for heart disease and diabetes.
Exactly. And especially as we increase in age, there is sarcopenia, which is loss of skeletal muscle mass. And as a result, there is accumulation of fat mass. Therefore, when you weigh yourself on a scale, your body weight might show a slight decrease and then you might think you're doing good. But in fact, no, this is not a good surrogate measure for health. You should rely on waist circumference, which is a better measure because it measures the visceral fat or the abdominal fat mass around your waist. So we wanted to look at the different types of exercises, moderate to vigorous aerobic activities versus weight training in relation to waist circumference change as well as body weight change. Among men, healthy men of all BMI range, so they could be, you know, normal weight, overweight, obese, all men, or when they replace one type for the other, what happens?
So this is a period of over 12 years you looked at this?
Yes, we looked at 12 years follow-up.
So what did you find?
When we compared the different activities, 20 minutes of moderate vigorous aerobic activities versus weight training, we found that 20 minutes per day of weight training was the most strongly associated with the waist circumference change, meaning as we age, there is an inevitable increase in waist circumference. So the people who engaged in weight training, they were lessening that increase. They were lessening it more as compared to those who did engage in other types of physical activities. Also, those who combined both types of activities saw the most ideal results. So I'm not trying to discredit the health benefits of aerobic activities. No, I'm just saying that it is not enough by itself as we increase in age. You need to add strength training, weight training. The other thing is we also compared replacing 20 minutes per day of weight instead of 20 minutes per day of aerobic activities, and we saw a very strong association, a favorable one, with waist circumference change, meaning it's really good if you replace weight training instead of aerobic activities, whereas the other way around didn't work. If you replace aerobic activities for weight training equal time, it did not show a favorable response in waist circumference.
So, and just to be clear, those who did both, which is what the current recommendation is in both Australia in the United States, they had the best benefit.
Right. Exactly. And then we looked at those who did no weight training versus those who did less than 25 minutes per day of weight training versus those who did more than 25 minutes per day of weight training. And the take-home message was men who engaged in more than 25 minutes per day of weight training, adding on top of that the aerobic activities, did not lead to any further benefit as far as waist circumference. So really, you're in a very good shape. If you don't like aerobic activities, you're really in a very good shape if you do at least minimum 25 minutes per day of weight training. That's what we saw. You see what I mean? If you do less, then it's good to combine with aerobic activities as well to get the most benefit.
So given your story at the beginning, which was about the burning of fat, and that one of the reasons that you look at waist circumference is because of this toxic fat around your intestines, the visceral fat, why mm-hmm. should weight training lessen the increase in waist circumference as we age?
Yeah, excellent question. A few things are happening because we looked at long-term. So we're not talking about 1 month. We're talking about 6 months and more, you know, long-term follow-up. What will happen over time, your muscles, upon engaging in weight training, will adapt. You will have more mitochondria in the muscles, and the mitochondria are the organs responsible for lipid oxidation.
These are the little energy factories inside cells.
Exactly. That leads to the ATP, which is the source of energy for the muscles to be able to move. So when you have more mitochondria in the muscle, that means automatically you're able to oxidize or burn more lipids or fat. That means, in lay terms, you're really able to get the benefits of the aerobic workout while engaging in the anaerobic workout.
And indeed, anybody who does weight training knows that there are some weight training exercises which get you out of breath.
Oh, yeah.
You run out of puff. So they are actually both aerobic and anaerobic at the same time.
Precisely. Certainly a mixture, of course. So adaptation was one thing. There was another justification. When you engage in weight training, studies have found that the energy expenditure increases not only in between sets, because you do a set of exercise and then you take a little rest and then a set. It increases not only in between sets, but also 48 hours post the weight training workout. So think about that, meaning if you compare someone who engaged in 20 minutes per day of weight training versus someone who did not, that other person who did the weight training, he's burning more calories during the weight training and also 2 days after. So you're going to maintain the muscle mass, the fat mass will be less, you're burning more calories, and that's what happens. So all these mechanisms happening at the same time.
And is there a particular weight training that works better than others?
In the paper, we didn't look at that, so I don't want to say that my answer is from the paper, but this is from my own knowledge because I also train fitness on the side. I teach different things. You want to do something balanced for the whole body, so you don't want to do a lower and neglect the upper or vice versa, right? So you want to target all the muscles in the group. You know, if you do it right with the right weights, because everybody has a different muscle strength. So if you do it with the right weights and gradually the right amount of sets and reps, then you should be all set.
Where does nutrition fit into this? Did you look at the nutrition of these people versus their waist circumference before we even talk about weight loss?
We looked at their protein intake. We compared men who took a lot of, like, more than the median of protein versus lower than the median in that sample. We saw a stronger association among men who consumed a little bit higher than the median. I can't remember what the median was on that sample, but it was higher, like in the high intake of dietary protein, so we saw more benefit.
And what about weight loss? What happened to their weight compared to the types of training?
Moderate to vigorous aerobic activities, this is the type of activity that was the strongest associated with body weight change and not weight training, which is because muscles weigh more than fat. So when you do weight training the right way, you're maintaining your muscle mass. So if you're going to weigh yourself on the scale, you might be upset, oh, I'm not losing weight. But you don't want to lose the muscle mass. Yeah, of course it's not going to change that much. You should really measure your waist circumference. So we did see that moderate to vigorous aerobic activities, it leads to the strongest lessening of body weight increase. But that's not very interesting to us because we don't want that.
Finally, answer me a question that listeners often ask me. Norman, I want to lose weight. I want to get fitter. What's the yin and yang of fat and muscle when it comes to weight loss? Is there an equation here? So if I lose 6 kilos and I'm training at the same time, what's the story? For every kilo of fat that I lose, you know, and you put on muscle, is there a story here that we know?
Yeah, every kilo you lose or you gain, in general, it's going to be 75% fat, 25% muscle. And also if you lose, however, you could change those percentages by engaging in the right type of physical activity, such as weight training, and then eating the right diet, such as protein, so that you're really adding on muscle mass and not fat mass when you add each kilo.
So crudely, you could be losing less weight by about 25%, potentially, if you're involved in weight training while you're trying to lose weight, but your waist circumference would go down. So in other words, you would be 25% more disappointed with your weight loss, but it's because you're putting on muscle.
Exactly.
So, Rania, have you got any tips for somebody who's willing to do weight training for 20 minutes a day, what they should be doing?
Yeah, I mean, they could be efficient, and rather than taking rest periods in between sets, they could do, for example, a set of upper body workout, and then they could alternate with either abs workout or lower body, and then they go upper, lower. So they're really doing a 40-minute workout into 20-minute workout, because they're not taking a rest. They're resting their muscles, but they're working on a different muscle group. That's just my advice. That's what I do to myself.
You're a masochist. And I take it that interval training, high-intensity interval training, postdates this study, and you're not able to comment on that.
No, this is not from the study. Again, I cannot comment on it. You're right.
Rana Makari, a tough-sounding trainer. She's at the Harvard School of Public Health and the Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences in Boston.